We spent 3+ years here as a member, and believe it or not, that's been nearly 40 years since we've left. And but I remember also the first conference they had here in 1979. I was in my first pastorate, and you know, the Bible tells us that a man qualified pastor must not be a novice. That's talking about in the Word of God. We're all novices when we go to that first pastorate. And but I'm thankful for the time we spent here. And for some of you that don't know it, when I was born nearly 56 years ago, my parents lived about a mile and a half from here on North Street. On my third birthday, we moved out in the country, Macomsey Road in Thetford Township. And so I spent 33 of my 75 years in Michigan. And people say, "Where are you from?" I'm from Michigan, but I'm thankful to be in Kentucky. But we'd like to invite you this afternoon to John chapter 4. And according to my clock, I got a lot of time. It's set on Central Time. If you don't understand what that is, to us, that's good time. But John chapter 4, we want to begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to read more scripture than I normally do, but I want to get a background for what our topic is. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must go through Samaria. Amen. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the place parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." If you don't know what the sixth hour was, that's about noon. He says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Amen. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drink drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast said well, or well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he who thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto the woman, Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our subject this afternoon is going to be true worshipers. Brother Lafferty and I had a conversation about this, I don't know, a few months back. I don't believe even New Testament Baptist church members know how to worship God. But we have laid out in these verses that Jesus is telling us that true worshipers must worship God in spirit and in truth. Most people don't understand what he's saying. But we also have laid out in these verses that we've read false worshipers. This woman, this Samaritan woman, and Samaritans were a mix of Esauites, Edomites, and Jews. They had some background from the lineage of Abraham of a Messiah. And she speaks that in this. But Jesus told her in verse 22, Ye worship you know not what. False worshipers today in today's world worship that which they know not. Right. And when I was a 20-year-old soldier stationed in bombholder Germany, I took an American Express tour. We went through Austria and Italy and Switzerland. And I'd never been in any type of Catholic church building. We were in Venice. And in this tour, you went through many of those cathedrals in Italy. And this tour guide had us standing outside before we went in, telling us what we were going to see. We were going to see all this magnificent artwork. That's part of their worship. That's idolatry. But as we stood out, and he told us what we were going to do. And we proceeded in. And it was like in the foyer there, I seen this big bowl with water in it. I had no idea what it was. So we're walking in. I walk in. I get about five rows up, and then there's nobody behind me. I look back, and all these people are dipping their fingers in the water and crossing themselves. So, oops. So I knew the next time we went in one, wait till they get all done with their stuff. That's idolatry. Amen. That's false worship. Amen. And that's not hard for people to understand. But how many people are here today who did not prepare to come and worship God? You know, if you are have your mind on things of this world and you just walk in here, you're not prepared to worship. And how many times, and I've seen this happen many times, husband and wife walk in and they've had a row before they got there. And they're not sitting next to one another, even though they sat apart. Their mind is not on worshiping God.
You're right. Amen.
And I've seen some come in who have no control over their children. And they're in some cases slapping them around, banging them around, slamming them in the pews. They're not there prepared to worship. When I was teaching in the academy at Todd County Schools, when we first started, they have what they called early release on Friday. And Mr. Shaw, our principal, they didn't call him principal, they called him director, was a Christian man. And he said, for 1 hour on Fridays, we're going to have a Bible study. It's not mandatory. The kids wanted to come in. If they didn't, they went into another classroom. And if they had homework, they did their homework. And what I would do, any questions you have, I'll try to answer them for you. And there was always another male and female teacher in there with me. And one child went in one time. It's what you see reading on the front of this table down here. To do this in remembrance of me. The question was, what does that mean? And I began to explain that it's a memorial. That when we have the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial. It's a remembrance of what He has done for us. Well, this male teacher belonged to the Christian church.
Right.
He says, no, it's not. It's a sacrament. If you go with the idea that you're going to take sacraments, you're not worshiping God.
You're right.
Sacraments are not a worship of God. They also believe that if someone makes a profession of faith, they dip them in the water right away. Because that's a sacrament. Sacraments are not worshiping God.
Amen.
And there are many other things too that are not worship of God. Satan is the author of that confusion. And he's going to continue to be the author of that confusion. In the book of Matthew, and we're coming back here to John, but in the book of Matthew chapter 7, I believe the Lord gives us a description of many of these people who worship in such false ways. Verse 21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity.
Amen.
You notice the Lord does not deny that they've done these things in His name. You can worship falsely and say it's in the name of the Lord and you haven't done anything.
Right.
You haven't done a thing. You can stand up here. You can preach from this Bible. You can preach your error and say it's in the name of the Lord. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Amen. I do not know you. Worshiping God in truth, spirit and truth, as we shall see, it is essential. It is necessary. Those who worship, as the Samaritan woman was told, you worship ye know not what. You don't know what you're worshiping. You don't know what you're doing. And again, as we stated, there are some that come into true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've got everything in this world on their minds, and they haven't come to worship. Now, every one of us have entered into the house of God at times, and where does our mind, something goes out here or there or the other place.
Right.
What do you need to do when that happens? You need to confess it. You need to repent. And you need to get your heart in tune with God. When we come in here, we need to be ready to hear what God has to say unto us. Not just let it go on one ear and out the other, but we need to listen to it. We need to apply it. And then, as has been said here, we need to repent when repentance is needed. God, as we shall see here, as in verses 23 and 24 again tell us, says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you've ever been in any of these houses of idolatry, and they have their statues surrounding that building, one of them will be what they call Jesus Christ. When we was in Rome, we went to the Vatican. And they have a statue of supposedly St. Peter. And the toe of that statue has been kissed. And this was in 1968. Had been kissed so much that it was wore off. About gone. That's idolatry. That is not worshiping God. We can make idols out of a lot of things. If you come into the house of God and you want to have the preeminence over everyone else there, you've come in as placing yourself as an idol. That's not worshiping God. If you have talents and you want everybody to notice those talents when you come into the house of God, you're not coming in for the right reason. You're not coming in here right. Again, he says, but the hour, that's now. The hour cometh, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. Many people today worship they know not what. In 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible tells us here, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So part of worship, an important part of worship, when you come to the house of God, is to love those whom God has loved. You can't come in the house of God and have grudges against another church member. We seen one time, church we were a member of, a young lady come before the church on Sunday morning confessing sin. And everyone in the building come around, give her the right hand of fellowship and said they forgive her. That night, there was two ladies come in, and as we come in, they were sitting there and they were whispering about this young lady. They didn't forgive her of anything. And they didn't come to worship. What did they come for? They come to point their fingers at someone else's sin. But it's something that they had already said, already told that young lady that they forgive her of. God is a spirit. And now is the time that you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Most of what people call worship today is nothing more than idol worship.
Amen.
If you think that keeping sacraments is worshiping God, that's idolatry.
Amen.
If you think coming in and taking the preeminence over everyone else is worshiping God, it's idolatry. If you think that you can listen to your ungodly music, and that falls into all kinds of categories,
right,
and come in and worship God, you can't. You can't. Because you can't tell me if that wicked music is on your mind when you shut that car off out there, your mind is clear when you come in here. It doesn't happen. So what does it mean to worship? To worship is to surrender your whole being in reverence to Almighty God. Your whole being, your whole self, everything about you must be surrendered unto God when you enter into this building to worship God. We worship in our prayers. We do worship when we sing godly songs. We worship when we hear the Word of God preached and we listen to it and we apply it.
Right.
Worshiping God, it's a reverence unto God. This takes preparation. We just don't walk into the house of God. We must prepare. And it doesn't start when we walk through the door. When we rise up in the morning on the Lord's day, what we need to do to prepare to come here? It's not just preparing our physical bodies. We must pray.
Amen.
We must clear our mind of this world. We need to walk in here ready to pray, to sing praises, and to listen to God's Word and apply God's Word. It takes preparation. Preparation. Spiritual preparation. When in the book of Matthew, in chapter 11, I know many times this may not be applied to worship, but let's listen to what the Lord says here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, starting verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Amen.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Most of the time I've ever heard these verses preached on, it's dealt with salvation message. But listen to that as far as worship is concerned. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you not ever come into the house of God laboring over any type of situation, and the Word of God has lifted you up? That's part of worship. That's part of worship. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Where do we learn? It's not just sitting at the house in the morning and reading a devotion or reading a chapter or two in the Bible. We learn when we come here to the house of God. These messages that we've heard to this point. Have you learned anything? And on the other hand, have you had that which you've already known? Have you had not it strengthened? That's part of what he's saying here. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Isn't it wonderful when we have come to the house of God, and when we leave, we find rest upon our souls? That's worship. That's paying attention when you come to the house of God. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not hard to learn in the house of God when you've come prepared to worship. It's not hard. We come to the Lord's house to hear from God and to receive instruction on daily life, not to be seen of men. We learn how to follow the Lord pick his yoke and learn, pick up his yoke and learn of him. You know, especially when we read through the Gospels and we see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ opened up before us, and we see what he endured, the persecution that he withstood during his life. You know, it's nothing compared to what we go through isn't even comparable.
You're right.
How many of us could even begin to endure what he did on the cross leading up to it? As he was taken by those Roman soldiers and he was beaten with that scourge, his beard was plucked from his face, and that crown of thorns buried in his brow. And this was before they nailed him to the cross.
Right.
And after he endured that, before they required him to carry his own cross, we know he had help. But when he started out, he was carrying his own cross.
Right.
And as he was nailed to that cross, you know, many people don't fully realize when he was nailed to that cross, that Roman cross was some of the most ugly capital punishment that the Romans had.
Right.
There was a deep hole there, and they lifted that pole and they let it drop in that hole. And then, as he spoke, he had to lift himself up and speak. And as Brother Glish pointed out, God poured out His wrath on him. We can't imagine what that wrath was. Every saint from Adam to the end of time, those who may not have even been born yet, our sin record, and every one of us who are alive here, that record's still going on.
Right.
He suffered the wrath of God for us. And when we enter this building, we come to worship Him. We come to give honor and glory unto the One who gave His life that we could go free.
Amen.
We come knowing that when time is no more for us on this earth, as Paul said, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I don't know for sure, but there was some evidence that Queen Elizabeth, who just died, was probably saved. One of her statements in life was that she wished that she could live long enough to hear the trump sound. That'd be wonderful to be alive when the trump sounds. And we do believe that it could happen at any moment. But in the meantime, when we come in here to worship, we come to worship in spirit and in truth. God says, or the Lord Jesus Christ here said that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. You know that word must? That's an absolute statement. There's no negotiation. You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, we notice here that spirit is capitalized. That's speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved by the grace of God, dwells within your soul.
Amen.
So when we come in, we must worship in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit is the guide. He is our leadership. He is the one whom we should call upon when we rise up in the morning to prepare to come to the house of God, to enable us to put aside this world, to put aside the thoughts of this heart, of this mind, to put aside all the cares of this world, to be able to worship God in spirit. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. In the book of book of Romans, let's go back to Romans chapter 8, and we see this truth. Romans in chapter 8, and beginning in verse number 14, says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Amen.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." The Spirit of God dwells within us. And we must worship God in spirit and in truth. When we have properly prepared to come to the house of God, the Spirit of God will be our guide. And how many times, now, every one of us must confess, there's been times that we have not prepared to come to the house of God.
Right.
this is not just a time to scold people. This is a time for us to examine ourselves. God must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Again, that is an absolute statement. There are no options. You know, many things in life, they may give you some options. You know, you can, and we've seen this thing, you know, they'll show you this road going and there's a Y. And if you go this way, this will happen. If you go this way, this will happen. This is not what God is saying here. There's no Y's in the road here. There's no options. You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you don't come in spirit and in truth, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. We need to understand, every one of us, we need to understand that when we are coming here to worship God, it's not bowing down to some idol. It's not bowing down to doctrine. And there are people who do that. The doctrine is what they worship rather than the Lord. There are those who worship church truth. You know, if you look at those seven letters to the churches of Asia, that's covered. Look at the church at Ephesus. You know, they had every T crossed and every I dotted. They challenged everybody that walked through their doors if they believed. But what did the Lord say to them? I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. If you don't come with a proper spirit to worship God, you've left your first love. Who is our first love? The Lord Jesus Christ is our first love. If it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for Him, we'd be headed to the lake of fire that brought a thought to my mind, and I'll just let it float because that's another subject. But God must be worshiped in truth. Truth. Not just necessarily crossing your T's and dotting your I's. But truth. What is truth? John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. What's truth? Jesus Christ is truth. He is truth. If what is being preached does not match up with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not truth.
You're right.
And when you, if you preach that the Lord's Supper and baptism are sacraments, that's not truth.
Amen.
Are they important? Absolutely. It's important that we understand that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we do it in remembrance of Him. It's important that when we have a soul saved and we baptize them, that we recognize that this is a picture.
Amen.
Of what Christ has done for us, or what Christ has done for that individual. That He died, that He was buried, and He rose again. It's important that we understand these doctrines, these teachings. That it's truth. Not a sacrament.
Amen.
True worshipers will always exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in worship. He is the one that's to be high and lifted up. Not the preacher. Not the song leader or the pianist. Or anyone else in any capacity. We're not to be exalted.
Amen.
I've known men in my life who wanted to, the preeminence. They wanted to be exalted.
Right.
I wouldn't give you a dime for their preaching. Christ is the truth and the center of our worship. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, when the Lord is coming back with His army to defeat Satan at the end of the tribulation, we find in verse number 13 says, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. He, when he was here upon the earth, he was the incarnate Word of God. When those who seen him on this, in this earth during his earthly ministry, they seen the incarnate Word of God. And we see, we know, we can go back. Brother Dan read that to us last night in John chapter 1. He's the Word of God. As the Word of God, he spoke everything into existence that exists. And as we've also heard concerning our election, that was determined before he spoke anything into existence. He is the Word of God. We must come to worship him in spirit and in truth. The Word of God is truth. And so we must worship him in truth. From Genesis through Revelation. You know, since I'm a little long in the tooth and everybody else has been preaching, I was saved at 13 years old. I'm 75, so you can do your math. I've been preaching for 49 years plus. And Genesis through Revelation. You go through Genesis to Revelation, and you can see Jesus Christ. Every page, every word. It all points to him. And some, I've heard some say it points to him and back to him. No, it points to him. He didn't cease to exist when he was crucified. He didn't cease to exist when he ascended into glory. He's always been and he always will be. And every time we come in to worship God, we come in to worship him in spirit and in truth. Any other worship of God is false. Verse 20 in our text reading. This woman says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Now, at this time, this was true. But what does Jesus go on to say? Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father." What's he saying? There's, the worship in the temple was coming to an end.
Right.
When did that end? When Jesus established his church. The only place that anyone can worship God in spirit and in truth today is in a true New Testament Baptist church. I've worked with many people from many different types of churches, even some called Baptists. When we were preparing to go to Illinois 40 years ago to do mission work, I'd worked with a man at Chevrolet, and I was working in a detective agent. I wasn't a detective. I was an accountant. Big difference from punching numbers and investigating stuff. But I worked with this man, and he was a member of I call off-brand Baptist church. And he says, "Let me tell you how that you build a church." He says, "You go down there and you start an Awanas program and you'll have a church established in a hurry." Hogwash. Awanas is not preaching truth. Boy Scouts. I was in Boy Scouts when I was a kid. I wouldn't let my son be in Boy Scouts because of the way they've changed. Of course, he's 45 now, so you can tell how long ago that was. But these programs do not represent truth.
You're right. Amen.
They don't take the place of bringing your children to the house of God. They don't take the place of sitting in your house and opening God's Word and reading God's Word with them, praying with them, and teaching them God's Word. Too many people have pushed their children off into programs like this to take the place of their responsibilities. As a father, we raised a son and three daughters. Where were they on the Lord's Day? They were in the house of God. Now, those of you that, when I was here, when Linda and I was here as members, we had just had Aaron. And you can probably remember, he made a lot of trips out there to get his butt beat. And Debbie Clark's mother sat in front of us. And I used to grit my teeth. We'd come back and she'd turn around. She's, "Oh, he's only a baby." "Shut up, Jelena." You know, but you have to train them. And, you know, of our four children, we have eight grandchildren and five of them are here. And four of those five are saved. I had the privilege of baptizing all four of my children. That's wonderful. But you have to bring them. You have to teach them. And part of teaching them is how to come into the house of God and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. He says, "But the hour," that hour is now, "the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him."
Amen.
God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Brother Rowan.